Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And so I told you it's quite a busy afternoon, and you might know this because I also had a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and we're talking about, I think it's Suicide Week, right? And so we're having a similar conversation right now. They're not new to the family. Never can they be new. In actual fact, I feel like they're now part of the furniture as well. And just now I was thinking about it, and I think I said this on air. I'm starting to feel like, or have this belief, that they were supposed to be twins some way or another, because even their names are very similar. And so on the line this afternoon, I've got Dana and Donnie. Did you hear that? Isn't that rhyming? Let's start with the ladies first. Dana, good afternoon and welcome back. Hello? Okay, I need to get my life sorted somehow. Something is not going my way here. I'm not too sure why I'm not hearing you. Dana, hello? Okay, I think I need to just quickly play a song, and I'll be right back with you shortly.
Lalela ukuze uzothola ukukhanya ebumnyameni. Thola i-app yethu manje. Ungangena ku radiopulpit.co.za futhi ungasithola ku DStv Audio 882 kanti na ku OpenView 607. Siyatholakala Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho imihla ngemihla.
Your daily spiritual nourishment. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit is more than just a radio station. We're a community. For over 40 years, we've been a trusted Christian voice, bringing God's word, encouragement, and hope into homes and businesses across South Africa and beyond. As a community radio station, we depend on your prayers, support, and partnership to continue broadcasting life-changing content. Together, we can build families, equip young leaders, and share Christ's message with the nation. You can support Radio Pulpit through once-off donations by way of EFT payment, Zapper and SnapScan, monthly debit orders, or even by leaving a bequest to ensure that this voice of hope continues for generations to come. Visit www.radiopulpit.co.za for banking details and QR codes. Stand with us, because Radio Pulpit needs you to survive and thrive.
All right. I think I've kind of won in this. Dana, are you there?
And I are here.
Oh, perfect. I'm such a lucky fish, because when I was trying to talk to you guys earlier on, something went wrong, and just fortunately, Budvusi walked in here, so I had someone to my rescue immediately. So, oh man. So I was actually just saying earlier on, I'm starting to feel like you guys are twins, because you're always together, and the names, Donnie, Dana. Isn't there a rhyme to those two names? was that even planned, guys? Like the name thing?
Well, obviously, the God plans things like that. You know how it works.
True. That is so true. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And they are from Child Protection Hotline, right? Is that how I said?
That is correct.
Child Protection Hotline. Such a weird name. Sorry to say it to you guys, but I find it's like a weird name. The hotline part, it's like, but it is a call center, right?
We are a call center. So our main name is the National Center for Child Protection.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Child Protection Hotline falls under that.
Don't get tired of me, because you'll probably always get this question forever. You do, right? I'm not the only person.
No, definitely not. And we also get mistaken for another organization that I won't mention on air.
There's no need.
We'd rather get that question than the other one, rather.
I get it. So we're talking about two things today. One, we're talking about World Suicide Prevention Day, and And we're also talking about an opportunity that's been presented by the National Center for Mental Health. And so let's start first off with the suicide part, the World Suicide Prevention part. We've had that conversation earlier in the week, and I think it's really befitting that we start off there, actually. Maybe, and because I can't see you guys today, it's a bit different. It's always easier to look at the one I want to address. But today, things are a little different because I can't see you guys physically, but that's okay. So why is World Suicide Prevention Day so significant, and particularly for South Africa?
So the reason why it's so important to discuss a day such as today is due to the fact that we need to create awareness. Mm. You can never get enough awareness. And due to South Africa in specific, so many people are unfortunately unemployed, and our poverty rates have really, really skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And that causes stress. I mean, when you are depressed or you are feeling down, it's quite difficult to pick yourself up out of that hole.
Mm.
And that really, really contributes to the high increase in our suicide rates that we experience within South Africa.
Sure. And as you're speaking, Dana, I'm just thinking it's amazing how we always misconceptualize these things. You're like, oh, you're just talking about stress. But the truth is, stress is a huge trigger. And chances are there's a lot of people who are probably suffering with depression that are part of the stats as well. We can't run away from that.
Most definitely. And the thing is, you shouldn't hide away from it, because the only way to address something is to tackle it head on.
Tell me, do you think stigma around mental health is still a major barrier to prevention? And if so, how can we break it?
Well, I think the first thing that it's okay to sometimes just say, I need help. Because I think that's struggle number one, is where do we get to the point where it's okay to say, I need help? What are we acting strong for? Who's winning when I say, I'm always okay, I never need help?
Yeah.
Nobody's winning. But whatever then happens is we become toxic.
Exactly.
Because of that refusal to accept help, we become toxic. We become toxic to our partners, our work colleagues, our children. So that's the start. We need to normalize the fact that it's okay to say, you know what, I've bumped my toe, my toe is hurting, I just need to sit down, I can't currently walk.
Sure. You actually, as you're speaking, Donnie, you're reminding me of a conversation I once had with a friend who was getting some job post in it's more like a government department in South Africa. And she was going through a lot. She just would not get herself to get attended to. She had to be at some point, I think they diagnosed with depression. She had to go to a psychiatric hospital. And she was skeptical. She didn't want to do it because she was just about to get employment in this department. And somebody had advised her to say, don't take it up. No matter how stressed you are, don't take that opportunity up, because they're going to think you're mentally unstable. And I thought to myself, in this day and age, is there a human being who does not understand that we all go through a lot? Because chances are, even in that department, there's a lot that need to get attended to. Long story short, she actually did go. And guess what? She did get the job eventually.
Good.
So it's you have to at some point say, I need help, no matter what everybody around you actually says.
Most definitely. And if you don't acknowledge that you need help, you won't receive the help that you need.
Exactly.
And it is sad. Medical aids, especially in today's times, which is very unfortunate. As soon as you go and see a psychologist or you get booked into a rehabilitation facility of sorts, you automatically live the rest of your life with this cloud hanging over you.
Sure.
I mean, so many women nowadays especially are diagnosed with depression and they have to take antidepressants. And that, honestly, a lot of people look at them in a different way.
Sure.
Or because they are treating a problem that is unfortunately out of their hands. But they're getting the treatment that they need, but now they still need to be stigmatized.
Exactly.
For actually receiving the help needed.
Sure. Still have a long way to go, I must say. Now, what are some of, you know, common misconceptions about suicide that we still have as a society? Because I can imagine you guys deal with a lot of these.
We most definitely do. So one of the biggest misconceptions that we face is that talking about suicide actually makes people more invested in actually doing it. So they have this misconception that, you know, if you talk about suicide, you might put the idea in someone's head and they will likely then go and do it.
Sure.
When in reality, if we have an open conversation, it doesn't cause suicide. It actually prevents it. Silence and avoidance increases shame and isolation. And when you are isolated and when you feel alone, you are more likely to then go and commit suicide.
That's so true. I like what you said. Once you go silent, there's a lot of thoughts that go through your mind. I think we can all attest to that. Once you don't speak up, you get to have all these conversations and answers. I don't want to use the stew word, but you get all these stupid ideas. And you end up thinking of things that you have no solution to, truly speaking, because there's nobody to actually say, hey, snap out.
Most definitely. And that's another misconception you just mentioned now, is when someone speaks to us about suicide, especially with our minors, often we get told, oh man, just ignore it. They're just seeking attention.
Yo.
You know, this is just their way of getting attention because they're not getting attention at home. And in reality, most people who mention suicide, they're actually doing it because it's their call out for help.
Yeah.
So when they are dismissed as and labeled an attention seeker, what is that doing? It's increasing their risk of actually committing suicide.
It plunges them deeper and deeper into that state of depression.
Definitely.
Sure. Now, in your experience, guys, what's the most effective approach to preventing suicide? In fact, I'm thinking to myself, can we even say we can prevent it at this point in time?
We can most definitely put programs in place to try and create more awareness so that it can prevent more individuals from going and, you know, acting on these thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things is eliminating those misconceptions.
Yeah.
You know, talking about it more, creating more awareness around this topic, not avoiding it, looking it straight in the face and saying, it's okay. It's okay that you are feeling depressed. It's okay to have suicidal thoughts. It doesn't mean that there is anything wrong with you.
Yeah.
But now we need to approach it. We need to effectively develop programs and create awareness around it and then strategize our way forward. What are we going to do about these thoughts? We can't just sit and talk about it and then be no action. Because the likelihood then is the person speaking about it, they're going to leave a session or a conversation and still go home and feel isolated and not know what to do with their life.
Yeah.
So for an example, in preventing someone from committing suicide, let's say for instance, because they are jobless, have that conversation. Acknowledge how they are feeling.
Yeah.
Let them express wholeheartedly without judgment what they are going through at that point in time. But then sit them down and say, okay, step number one, do we need to update your CV? Step number two, what are your interests?
Yeah.
Where would you like to be in 5 years from now? Step number three, with help and support, let's start applying for jobs. That guidance, that support, that will help them in preventing the suicide from actually taking place.
Sure. Now, let's talk some stats, guys. You know, we know we always say stats are shocking, but how are they looking like? Can you share some stats that you've gathered around mental health and suicide in, you know, South African context, obviously?
Yes. So we've got plus minus 14,000 people that commit suicide per year.
For what?
That places, yes.
Sure.
14,000 people per year. So let's, if we start breaking that down, we look at 38 people plus minus per day.
No.
Of those 38 people, 11 of them are children. So that means it's people under the age of 18.
Phew.
We have the 10th highest suicide rate in the world. Yeah, it's a shocker. 75% plus minus of suicides are men.
Sure.
And under our youth, which is from 15 to 29, under our youth, it's the second leading cause of death.
Yo.
So there's a lot of conversations that are currently not taking place.
Mm.
And when I speak at a school and I ask the children, how many of you have lost a parent or a family member or somebody that you know to suicide? I cannot tell you when last I saw a child that did not put up a hand.
You know, Danny. Like, it's so common.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. So it's happening around us. It's happening every single day.
Mm.
And that is part of why we made the decision to also open up the National Center for Mental Health.
Mm.
So that the people that are older than 18, that feel that they've got nowhere to go, knows that they now have somewhere to go.
Yeah. You know, and I know Dana actually spoke about how we can support, you know, like an unemployed person, you know, in decreasing the risk of suicide. But can you share some of the stats that, what practical ways that is, you know, on anybody that may be struggling, you know, how can we step in as a community? How can we, you know, make them feel better and help them through this?
So as a community, we need to come together.
Mm.
It doesn't happen overnight. And yes, one person can make a difference and save a life.
Yeah.
But we can save many more when we pull together all our resources and really, really strengthen our hands in going hand in hand in this fight. So some of the ways and practical steps, peer support groups, local churches, police stations, schools, all of those facilities can host a group of individuals that can come together free of charge without needing to source resources and funding for things like that and then have an added additional stress unnecessarily.
Yeah.
We need to create peer support groups. Again, when we go to schools and Dani does a conversation with the learners, what are we doing? We're creating awareness.
Hmm.
We're educating these children. What does it mean if you go and you take your life? Who are you leaving behind?
Yeah.
What are you leaving behind? What is your value to the world?
Mm.
Accessible helplines is another one that communities need to obviously advertise and make use of. And I will shortly share our national counseling hotline that we've got partnered with Radio Pulpit and I Am Youth. That's a free helpline for counseling. It's there. It's accessible. You don't need to pay for it. Utilize the resources that are available, especially those that have no cost. We also need to create safer spaces, safer places such as schools where a child in need can go and openly speak to a teacher or a counselor or a social worker and in your working environment. I mean, going to HR, you shouldn't have to be concerned.
Yeah.
But if you open up to HR about the fact that your colleague is undressing you with their eyes, you shouldn't have to be concerned that you're going to lose your job.
Mm.
That should be a safe space for you to go and confide in someone who is trusted and there for your overall well-being.
Sure. So also, what advice would you give to someone who feels unequipped to support a loved one who's experiencing suicidal thoughts?
So some advice that I would give, and I'm going to then tag Dani, is that you don't need to have all the answers.
Mm. You mustn't have that pressure.
Yes, you sometimes have a loved one come to you and you panic because you're like, oh my gosh, how do I handle the situation? I don't know what to tell them. What if I tell them the wrong thing and that triggers them? You don't need to have all the answers.
Sure, I like that.
I would also advise that you encourage them to get professional help. Do not force it, but encourage. Tell them what the benefits are. Remind them it's not weakness, but rather that it's strength.
It's not weakness, but it's strength.
Yes.
I love that one.
Correct.
I love that one. Donnie, are you there, my friend? Hello?
What advice do I have?
No. I needed to make sure you're there.
No, cause I'm like you in the listeners. I'm hanging on to Dana's lips thinking, what a clever girl.
over a little bit now, a bit of a shift. You know, we're talking suicide, and while we're at that, we know that there is definitely a need for counseling as well, whether it be, you know, for suicide or anything else, but we definitely need more counselors. Let's start off here. Can you tell us a bit more about the National Center for Mental Health and the work that they do?
So you don't realize this, but you are the fifth person in the world that knows about it. We are sharing with your listeners first.
Wow.
We started that, me and Dana, about probably 3 weeks ago, and we wanted to launch it with you. And
wow.
On your show. Yes. So we are literally now, it's the same number. The number hasn't changed. It's our same counseling number. The only thing that we've realized with time is that a lot of people make contact with us, often hearing our number, whether it's on your program or one of the others, and then they say, but I'm not a child. How do I get help?
Yeah.
We then realized that the fact that we're taking hands with you as National Center for Child Protection, the Child Protection Hotline, has somehow made some people feel excluded, obviously not on purpose, and we've just decided, let's not make anyone feel excluded. And we've added this as a new partner on our side, but it's the same people, same heart, same everything. It's just to make sure that the person that needs help, when they're ready to ask for help, they must not be put off by something like the word child or children. Oh. And that's why we've opened up the National Center for Mental Health.
Amazing. Now, you're offering Radio Pulpit listeners an exciting bursary opportunity. Can you explain what this bursary is all about and what course or training program will the bursary winners be enrolling in?
So what we find is that a lot of people want to actually study and learn on how to be there for others. So while some people listen to your program now and think, if I need help, I probably need to ask for assistance, there are some people that are probably listening and saying, I want to help people, but how am I able, you know, I've been a teacher for 40 years, I've retired, but I now want to do something with my life where I can make a difference. And we then decided to run a competition as part of this amazing launch that we're doing to say, because we've got our own academy where somebody can study and they can become a specialist wellness counselor, we're going to offer them the opportunity to have a bursary, a 50% bursary, to study at our academy, and then they can make a difference in the lives of others.
Wow, that's absolutely beautiful. And how will the course be delivered then? Will it be mostly online? Will it be in person, or is it a mix of both?
Okay, so it will be online. The lectures will take place twice a week online in the evenings because, you know, a lot of people are studying or working. So we've tried to accommodate them in that sense. So it'll be a month of sessions where they'll attend lessons twice a week online. And then thereafter, they get placed in a placement site, such as our organization, to give you an example. Mm-hmm. And for 3 months, they then have supervision, guidance, support, and they are then, how do I say this, they are assigned online counseling cases, they are tested, they are put in the deep end sometimes, but that is all to build them up to ensure that they are well equipped and ready when they go out on their own in the field of counseling to go and help others and to save lives.
Well, it's quite an interesting opportunity, I must say. The program also includes a few hours of practical work, like you said. What kind of work can students then expect to do during this practical component?
So they can expect to do things like attend workshops with us and events. So if we need to go out, let's say, to a community of sorts that's in need, they will then attend those workshops, events with us. They will be able to offer free counseling to anyone that needs it in that particular area. They will also be assigned online counseling cases. So through our counseling hotline that we have partnered with you, they will have the opportunity to test their skills that they've learned. They will take on a case, but of course under strict supervision and guidance, and they will be taken through that process of really, really helping those out there in need of counseling services.
Okay. And what level of accreditation does this training have? How does it benefit those who complete it? You know, that's a very serious aspect of studies generally, like accreditation.
So Daniel's a clever one, but I'm going to share what I know. It's got NQF level 5.
Wow.
It is SAQA registered, and it's got 74 credits.
Wow.
And then there's all kinds of funny codes and stuff. But if somebody's interested, we can share all of that with them. But yeah, NQF level 5, so people that have gone to varsity and stuff and they've just got a normal degree, it's normally what they exit with, is NQF level 5 as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then as people obviously gain more experience and study further, they get higher levels. But this allows you to broaden your skills. And while you're broadening your skills, you can really make a difference. And for the people that feel that they don't necessarily want to come, and once they're done work for us, they can actually open up their very own counseling practice.
Wow. So when will the bursary winners be able to start their training, and how flexible are the start dates?
So the 10 bursaries being offered, they will be allowed to choose which month they would like to begin. We have monthly intakes. So mm-hmm. the first week of every month, we start a new group of students. And so they will be chosen before October. So in this month, we will run the campaign until the end of September. And then they have the opportunity to decide would they like to join for October, November, December, or January next year.
Mm. All right. So what criteria will be used to select bursary winners, and how will they be guided through the enrollment process?
So once we receive the answers to the questions that I'm sure you guys will share,
mm-hmm.
If they send through a message to us on our counseling hotline and we receive that, we will then go through the information. For instance, what is their highest level of qualification? What is their age? You know, have they answered all the questions correctly? And based on a set criteria, we will then decide who those 10 winners will be.
Hmm.
And obviously, we'll have their WhatsApp number or their contact details. And then we will contact them directly and let them know that a very big congratulations. They've just won a bursary to enroll in our counseling academy.
Wow. Finally, what message would you like to share with listeners who may be considering a career in counseling? And why is now the perfect time to take this step?
If you wait in life, life will run by. Before you know it, you will not have achieved what you wanted to.
Mm.
So that is why you shouldn't wait, and you should really take the opportunity when it's presented to you. And so anyone in the idea or the mindset of wanting to help others, this would be a perfect course for them. And so all it takes is a message, listening in, ensuring you answer the questions correctly. Maybe put a little motivational sentence or two as to why you want to pursue counseling as a career. But my personal advice is there's no better feeling in this world than being able to help another soul.
Wow. Dana, Donny, thank you so much for your time. I've got to run to the news, running late. But thank you so much for your time. And thank you for always being the difference and making a difference in our society.
Oh, thank you so much. It's always wonderful to speak to you. And we can't wait to see you again soon.
God bless.
Thanks.
Where
so much.
Christ is in the heart of every message. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
We understand that as a young person, you face many challenges that threaten both your safety and mental well-being. And in this fast-moving world, you don't always have someone to talk to. That's why I Am Youth has joined hands with Child Protection Hotline to give reliable and accessible counseling to young people. So send a WhatsApp text, SMS, or call the number 076-037-6345 to get help today. We believe that you are worth it.
Add your voice to ours. We want to hear from you. Contact us at gospel@radiopulpit.co.za or send a WhatsApp to 082-657-2729. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. your daily companion.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.